Thereupon, Victor instructs them briefly in the principal points of Christian doctrine, after which he sends one of them into the city, directing him to the dwelling of a priest. When the minister of God learns what has taken place in the prison of the martyr, he hastens joyfully to the place designated for their meeting. There he finds the blessed Victor and his two companions engaged in prayer. Without delay, they proceed together to the seashore, where the three new converts are baptized by the priest, the martyr being their sponsor. The three neophytes were called Alexander, Longinus, and Felician. In the morning, it became known throughout the city what had taken place in and around the dungeon where the martyr was confined. When Maximin was apprised of it, his fury knew no bounds. He swore that Victor should be held responsible for what had occurred. Immediately, he issues his orders that the three soldiers be forced to offer sacrifice to the god, or put to death in a manner that may serve as a warning to others. The martyr, who knew beforehand that was to be expected from the cruelty of the emperor, prepared his brother soldiers, now also his sons in Christ, for the coming struggle, and encouraged them by these words. Soldiers of Christ, my generous companions, now is the time to display your courage as well as your power of endurance. Preserve manfully the fidelity which you have but just now promised to your glorious leader, Jesus, the Son of the Eternal God. The enemy approaches, the battle is at hand. You have scarcely enlisted beneath the banners of the cross, and already the foe, hoping to find you unprepared for the encounter, seeks to entice you from the path of duty, relying on easy victory over your inexperience. But my friends, you are not so untrained as he imagines. The discipline of an earthly warfare is not now lost for you, although the object is changed. You, who have fought for what is vain and perishable, are now called upon to battle for what is real and imperishable. So act that your heroism may win the approval of your heavenly King, who has chosen you, although but recently received into his army, to stand in the front rank in defense of religion. Let your enemies learn that, by enrolling yourselves under a noble banner, you have lost naught of your accustomed bravery. Let no transitory dread hinder you from seizing the palm of victory, which lies now within your grasp. With the eyes of faith, behold your King advancing before you and opening the path that leads to endless glory. Listen to his voice as he cheers you on. In the world you shall have distress, but have confidence. I have overcome the world. Call upon him in your heart and with your voice. He hath said, I am with you all days, even unto the consummation of the world, will hear your prayer. For the glory of his name, I may give my own experience as a confirmation of the truth of my words. When yesterday I lay stretched upon the rack, in the midst of my agonizing pains, I called upon my merciful Savior. Instantly he appeared to me, holding his hand, the instrument of our redemption, and said, Peace be with thee, Victor. Fear not, I am Jesus, who suffer in my saints the insults and torments which they endure. These words filled my soul with so great a sweetness and strength that all my pains vanished at once. Wherefore, my brothers, my sons in Christ, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the author of our salvation. Regard not the idle threats of mortal men. Ye, who are now on the point of being received into the joyous company of the angels, and as, but lately, in the service of your country, you would have preferred death to the disgrace of a defeat. Although the one as well as the other would have hurled you into everlasting destruction, now conquer, I beseech you, by a generous confession of your faith, that you may reign forever in bliss. Hardly had the martyr finished his exhortation when the officers made their appearance. These led them forthwith to the upper forum, where the crowd of spectators was so great that it seemed as if the whole city were present. Some had come thither to show their hatred of the Christians, others through a desire of seeing the martyr's triumph over the powers of darkness. At the sight of the martyrs, the populace filled the air with tumultuous shouts. They cursed Victor and insulted him with every opprobrious epithet. The martyr, without showing the least agitation of mind, with smiling countenance and cheerful words, encouraged his three companions. When, however, the mob cried out to him, "Restore to the worship of God these soldiers whom thou hast seduced," he turned to them and said, "It is neither right nor becoming that I should destroy what I have but now built up." Alexander, Longinus, and Felician were first interrogated by the prefect. They answered firmly and briefly that, by the grace and mercy of God, they were Christians, that they were ready to lay down their lives in defense of their faith, and that no earthly power could induce them to renounce the allegiance which they owed to Jesus Christ, their Lord and Redeemer. The prefect then made use of promises and threats. They remained firm and unshaken, fearing, doubtless, that tortures would only serve to display their courage and the sincerity of the conversion to the faith. Maximian had given orders, in the event of their not yielding to promises and threats, and that they should be put to death on the very spot. This sentence was accordingly put into execution. The three martyrs were beheaded, and thus, by suffering death in time, they secured the life of bliss in eternity. Meanwhile, the blessed Victor, knowing that his companions, the objects of his anxious solicitude, were already enjoying their heavenly reward, besought the Lord with sighs and tears to make him a partaker of their happiness, as he had been a sharer in their struggles. The crowd, disappointed in the expectation of witnessing a long and bloody trial, began to vociferate, demanding of the prefect that Victor should again be put upon the rack. Their wish was soon gratified. The glorious champion was not only stretched upon the rack, but his body was mangled by the executioners with clubs and heavy thongs made of bull's hide. The martyr neither flinched nor complained. The torturers at last grew weary of their cruel task. Victor was again sent back to prison, where he spent 3 days in continued prayer, commending his martyrdom to God with mingled tears of joy and compunction. When the emperor heard that all the torments inflicted by his officers proved ineffective against the constancy of the martyr, he resolved to take himself the matter in hand. Victor was therefore ordered to appear before Maximian. When he stood in the imperial presence, Maximian said to him, "Victor, I am told thou remainest obstinate in thy adherence to a false religion. As I have been dutiful in the service of my country, so I must needs be faithful to my God," said Victor. "The God whom thou adorest is not the God of the empire," replied the emperor. "The God whom I adore is the God of all empires, of all ages, and of the universe." "Is he indeed?" "He is the only true eternal God. Besides him, there is no God." "He is not the God of the divine emperors of Rome," said Maximian. "He is the great king above all gods," replied the martyr. "The divine emperors of Rome are poor mortal men, even as their subjects, in the sight of the true God." On hearing this bold answer to the Christian hero, the attendants of the emperor and the people that stood against set up a cry of indignation against him. Maximian, disguising his real sentiments under the appearance of an unruffled calmness of mind, ordered an altar to be placed near the martyr. A priest of Jupiter, bearing the incense for the sacrifice, stood near the altar. Maximian said to Victor, "Victor, I admire thy courage. Be wise. Go take the incense, sacrifice to Jupiter, and be our friend."